Welcome to IRO Live with host Bob Bay.
My name is Danielle, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm in recovery for drugs, alcohol, anger, and low self-esteem. I was raised in Duplo, Illinois. I live with my dad, my mom, and my older sister. On the outside, we looked like a perfect little family, but behind closed doors, it was much different. Our life was very chaotic. My dad was an alcoholic, which caused fights and arguments. My mom would often make him leave for hours, and sometimes days later, he could return. I had an older sister. My older sister was, she'd always fought and was skipping school and stuff like that. So most of the attention was on her. I never did like when they would fight, so I'd go to my room and I'd hide in my closet with my hands over my ears. I was a very quiet and timid child. Around age 6 or 7, I started going to church. I'd go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday nights. I eventually started singing in choir and playing the piano. Going to church was my happy place. As a little girl, I knew that I wanted to please God. My family attended church with me sometimes, but I mainly went alone. I remember things not making much sense to me because I was being taught one thing at church and the complete opposite at home. I always wanted my family to serve God and to lead me properly. When I was 10 years old, my mom and my dad adopted my second cousins. I was now a big sister to 2 twins. I was very excited to be a big sister, but I started feeling ignored. So the tension went from my big sister to my twin little sisters. I felt very lonely, and at 10 years old was the first time that I tried to commit suicide by cutting my wrist, and I was put on psych meds at 10 years old. I continued to go to church faithfully for the next couple years until I turned 12, and I started hanging out with a different crowd, and I started smoking cigarettes and smoking weed. Going to church stone made me feel so guilty, but not enough to quit, just enough to stop going to church. That's where leaning on my own understanding started. By the time I got to be 14, my parents could no longer make their marriage work, so they got divorced. My mom took my little sisters, the twin sisters, with her when she moved to DeSoto, Missouri, and she left me to be with my dad. Right after she left, I tried to kill myself again. I took a whole bunch of the psych meds, and I cut my wrist again, and I ended up in Highland for the first time. That same year, right before I turned 14, I lost my virginity and believed that attention from the boys would take me, take all the pain away from me. Since my mom moved to Missouri, I didn't see her for a while, and my dad worked third shift, which made it hard for him to keep tabs on me, so I was pretty much just running the streets. And my big sister, had already moved out, so I spent most of my time at her house. I was babysitting and hanging out, and it wasn't long before my dad dropped all my stuff off on her front porch with a note that said, "Here, you can have her." Even though I felt pushed aside for the second time, I knew my dad was struggling from losing my mom, so I understood the reasons why he was letting my sister live with me, or deal with me. Living with my sister was a little difficult. I was 15, and I was living in a party house. People were in and out all the time. And then that same year, my boyfriend moved in with me. So I was 15, living with my boyfriend. Him and I started doing cocaine together with everyone else in the house, and it didn't take long, and I was hooked. I went to school, and I went to work, but I was constantly doing cocaine. At age 17, I ended up pregnant with my first child. And even though it was hard, I made sure to be the first person in my family to graduate, pregnant or not. My son's father and I broke up before my son was born, and I was now dating a different guy. After I broke up with my son's father, he ran out on Route 3 and tried to kill himself. He got hit by a car, and he only had like a 3% chance of living, which he did live, but that brought a lot of guilt on me, and I felt really bad for that. This new guy that I was dating, I thought he was a good guy, but I was fooled. He was very, very controlling. So I thought he was a good guy, but he used to tie me to an office chair down in his basement and leave me there while he was at work. That way I couldn't go nowhere. I couldn't leave him or cheat or, any of that. It wasn't long, and he was beating me up on a daily basis. He also wanted me to be okay with him sleeping with other women and coming back to me. Next I knew, I was 19, and I was pregnant for the second time. I sadly chose an abortion. I thought I was making the right choice to protect my baby from the chaotic world I was living in, and I didn't want to raise another child in that environment. All this devastated me so bad that I thought I'd go start my life over in DeSoto with my first child. I ended up getting my own place there, and I was living a good life. I had my own place, a car, a bank account, a job, and my son. I had never had all this on my own before, and I really felt proud of myself. It all only lasted about a year and a half before I was introduced to meth. I was hooked from the first time I did it. It gave me energy I never thought I could have, and since I work 12-hour shift as a CNA, I thought it was a perfect solution to juggling my busy life. I started using meth every day, right away, and at first I was only smoking it, but it wasn't long and I started shooting it. I was using at work until I decided to quit my job. I thought I could just sell meth for a living, so I learned how to make it. This took me down a dark, dark path. Living this way eventually led me to rehab. The first time was in 2011, and I will never, ever forget that day. It was Christmas Eve, actually, and my first son, who's now going to be 18, he saw this lady and her daughter building a snowman, you know, and he wanted to build a snowman. Well, I had been up for 2 weeks, and the night before I did 7 hits of acid, and I've been hiding in my bedroom all night. And so my son wanted to build a snowman, so I got all dressed up, and I remember taking all the beer cans that were all around my apartment and stuff, pouring them in this big 44-ounce cup so I could walk around town with my son or outside to build a snowman. Well, anyways, we got lost 2 streets from my house for hours, and my son ended up turning colors. He was so cold, and I couldn't even find my way back to my apartment. Some guy that lived in the neighborhood helped me back. So I ended up calling my family and telling them, hey, I need help. You know, I can't do this anymore. So they took my son, and I went to Farmington SEMO for rehab. While I was in there, I met another man that I believe was a good man wanting to get his life together. But instead, he ended up being another abusive, controlling man. I always thought a man was what I needed. Also, while being in rehab, I lost full custody to my first child. My mom got temporary guardianship of him, and this crushed me, and my whole world came tumbling down even harder. I lost all hope in life and any hope that I had in God. I lost all that too. My life at this point was consumed with nothing but making meth and shooting meth. And yet, I got pregnant for the third time. I ended up going to the doctor because I didn't know I was pregnant though, but I was bleeding really badly, and I ended up going to the doctor, and I found out that I lost the baby because I was using so heavily. And of course, this caused me to go even deeper in my addiction, even though I didn't think that was possible. A few months later, the guy from rehab, he beat me so badly I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. I'm not going to go into detail, but I just couldn't walk for 2 weeks. He was on parole. So once my mom found out, the state found out, and they pressed charges, and he went back to prison. And I never saw him again. After this, I had some clean time off meth until I met my ex-husband. At first, he treated me with respect like a woman should be treated. I really thought I had met a good one again. Further into the relationship, he proved all he wanted to do was drugs. My ex used to do a lot of tripping drugs because he wanted to feel like God. And I realized then that it was a toxic relationship, but I couldn't seem to pull myself away. We not only did meth, but we also did heroin and fentanyl patches and all different pain pills. Anything that we could shoot up, we would do. We would even steal together, anything we had to do to feed our addiction. I was not allowed to talk to my family members without him, or even my friends. I had never felt so isolated. I just kept thinking that I could change him. I thought if I could love a person more and more, they would love me more. And that's never the case. But what I had been searching for my whole life was love and attention. My ex often told me that I'd never find anyone to love me like he did. And since I had such low self-esteem, I believed him, which made me stay with him. He would often accuse me of cheating. He would also accuse me of hiding people in the picture frames and in my closet and all kinds of stuff. There was also one time he would like to get really paranoid and keep me in bedrooms and wouldn't let me out of the bedrooms. And till one day I told him, if you don't let me out this bedroom, I'm gonna stab you, you know? And he just thought it was a joke, and I ended up stabbing him. So I stabbed my ex-husband with scissors. And I went to jail, but I got let off because I was protecting myself, so they didn't end up charging me. I just felt I had no way out. In the midst of all this drug use, I ended up pregnant for the fourth time. But once again, I lost the baby due to using so much drugs. I was so broken that this kept happening, and I thought that God was trying to tell me something, but of course, at that time, I ignored it. I just wanted to die. I didn't see a reason for living. I didn't feel worthy of God's love at this time in my life. And even though I had a million reasons to quit using drugs, I just fell even deeper. I went into a psychosis from being up so long and not eating. It was a very scary time in my life. And through all of these years and all of these things, like, I had been put on all these different psych meds. I've been on, like, every psych med that they ever made, and nothing ever seemed to help, nothing ever seemed to work. A year later, after I lost my fourth child, I got pregnant for the fifth time. And I actually got to carry this baby. I used the whole pregnancy again, but God gave me my baby girl, who's now going to be 9 years old. I felt that my husband and I had been saved with our daughter. Like, I thought we were going to quit doing drugs because I finally got to have a baby. But I was wrong again. We continued to use drugs. It was a nonstop thing in my life. Our relationship got worse, and my ex-husband ended up beating me for 3 days in a motel while accusing me of sleeping with men that I didn't even know of. I was often being accused of things that didn't even exist. Being in a relationship with somebody who lives in a different reality causes a lot of trauma. After the 3 days of beating and a concussion and the whole toxic relationship, I decided I wanted a divorce. We lived with his parents, and once I said I wanted a divorce from their son, they wanted me out of their house. And since I was in no shape to really have my daughter, she stayed in their home while I lived in a tent in their backyard. And my husband at the time ran off with my friend, or so I thought was my friend. I had nowhere to go. I had burned all my bridges. And after weeks of sleeping in a tent and shooting up in that tent, God spoke to me. It was like 5:30 in the morning. And he told me that he loved me and that I didn't have to live this way. I started praying to God right away, and I told him that I promised to start changing my life if he helped me out of this situation. The same day, my in-laws went to the courthouse to try to get custody of my daughter. And luckily, they didn't have the money to do it, and it was just a scare, but a big enough scare to me to where I knew I had to get her and I had to get away, or I was going to lose my daughter and possibly my life. I made a phone call, and I was away from that situation, and I have never touched a needle since that day by the grace of God. I moved from Potosi back to Illinois in 2017. I didn't realize that my whole hometown was all methed out, too. I was messing with meth a little when I came back, but nothing like I was before. A year after being back in Illinois, I was pregnant for the sixth time. My dad was also dying from cancer. I made a choice that I was not going to deliver another drug baby or lose another baby, so I got clean and also to take care of my dad. I took care of my dad till his last breath, and he died in January 2018. I stayed sober for about 9 months before I relapsed again. And once again, me and my youngest son's father didn't work out either. So here I was, a recovering addict, three kids with three different dads, an alcoholic, no car, no job, living with my best friend and still married to my ex. What was I going to do? Where do I even begin to put my life back together? The only solution I hadn't given all effort to was God. When my dad passed, I went to Hope Church to get the CD that would be played at my dad's funeral. There I saw Celebrate Recovery. I decided I was going to attend. I started going back to church and to CR. Even though I was a huge mess, I knew God would be the only one to save me. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear me, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That verse gave me so much hope. I finally did not feel alone. I had hope that God had plans for me and my children. At first, being at CR made me feel very uncomfortable, but everyone there did their best to make me feel welcome. They accepted me as I was with all my issues. They was willing to love me until I could love myself. Although I had all the support, I was still coming to meetings drunk or high on something. My life was pure insanity, doing the same things over and over. I just couldn't seem to feel this loneliness in my soul. I didn't realize then that God, and only God, would be able to save me. Nothing or no one else could. I didn't realize that I had to surrender all my problems to God for him to move in my life. I decided to do a step study using the 12 steps of recovery. This is where I learned how and what to do to live a better life. I learned that I had underlying issues that needed to be addressed and corrected before moving forward. I had to step out of denial, realize I was powerless without God, and once I realized that, I started to really work my program. Things were going pretty well when I met another man. So all these guys and these men. That don't say something about me, but the old me, I mean. So I didn't know this guy, but he kept coming across my Facebook, so I messaged him, and Fireball will help you talk to anybody. Anyone, promise. Don't, but it will, it'll help you. Not knowing he would soon become my husband. This man came into my life when everything was broken. I had nothing but issues. And I figured once I told this man the truth, that he would run from me. But he didn't. He stayed. He's crazy. He stayed and he loved me and my kids like they were his own. Jeff and I were both coming out of a meth addiction, so I was a little concerned for us both. But God had better plans for us. Jeff started coming to CR with me, but it was only to support me because he didn't need CR. Not at all. Nope. And before too long, Jeff was attending church with me also. We decided that we were going to live for God and to help other addicts like us. 11 months into our relationship, Jeff and I got high together. And that would be the first and the last and only time we ever got high together. Jeff and I ended up doing another step study together, so it was my second step study. We was attending church and doing CR with Pam and Bob. And we was helping those in need and so much more. My life was finally looking up. I finally had a life I wanted to live, a happy life, until I got hurt on a four-wheeler on a camping trip. After I got hurt, nothing was helping the pain, and I couldn't find anything to help until I was offered fentanyl. I thought that since I had been an addict and I had sucked on fentanyl patches before, that I could snort fentanyl, and that was a huge mistake. It was heroin and fentanyl mixed. So I snorted the pill, and I made it a few feet before I fell out on the floor to die, barely breathing, when Jeff found me a few hours later, or if I was breathing, I'm not sure. I don't know. I was barely breathing. I don't know if I was actually breathing. He said I was already gray and my lips were turning purple, and I know it took 3 shots of Narcan to bring me back to life. That should have scared me for my dear life, but because I was an addict, it only made me more curious about this drug. I was also addicted to escaping my life, so this drug actually really excited me. I thought I could do it and I could forget everything in my past, or I thought maybe I could keep doing it and I would actually die next time. I waited a few months after that happened before I did fentanyl again. How could I go from living the life I wanted with Jeff to doing fentanyl every day? It didn't make sense, but I loved the way that fentanyl made me feel. I was able to go into my own world and I had to focus on all the mistakes in my past. I tried very hard to keep my drug use a secret, pretending that I didn't pick it up again. I was trying to hide it from him. And as I did for a little while, but I started to feel really bad because I was living two lives. And you can't live for God and live for the world at the same time. The fentanyl took over my life more than any other drug I'd ever done. I couldn't function without it. I eventually stopped going to CR and going to church. I got mad at God for all my poor choices, and I thought I didn't need him. I was dragging my kids around to the city and to get drugs and nodding out in front of them. It was so sad the way that I was living and the things I was putting myself and my family through. Thankfully, I soon heard about another CR. I decided to go. It was Second Chance Ministries. I showed up to that meeting very high on fentanyl and meth, but I was also open to change. Sorry, guys. I was there. This CR took me in. This group took me in and loved me. The whole church did. I finally felt I belonged somewhere. At this same time, Jeff was trying very hard not to give up on me and the kids, but I know at that time it was a huge struggle. He even left our house and started staying somewhere else for a while because he wasn't sure if he could stay around to watch me kill myself. As I continued at CR, I met a wonderful woman that was there for me like no one else had been. She went to the max to help me get sober. She and her family took me in their home, and I'm forever grateful. I was so scared to go into rehab because I lost my first child the last time I went into rehab. So this woman decided that I could get sober in her home. It was very difficult withdrawing with no medical attention, but I did it. Because of the love from this woman and her family and her love for God and God's mercy, I'm standing here today to tell my story. I remember thinking I'd never be able to fight that fight but God. Psalm 18:39 says, "You have armed me with strength for battle. With God all things are possible." 3 months after living with this wonderful family, I moved back in with Jeff and we started working on our relationship. We both decided to move out of that town, away from the people and the drugs, and it was the best decision we could have made. Since then, it's been almost 2 years. In the past 2 years, it's been a huge healing and growing process. Not every day has been easy, but with strength from God, it's all been possible. Living the lifestyle I lived caused me to have a lot of mental issues that I'm having to also overcome. I've had to learn how to trust others, not be paranoid all the time, that everyone was out to get me or had foul intentions towards me. Getting through these things have been a little scary, but That's why I gave it to God. And since giving it to him and surrendering fully, next month will be a full year that I've been off any kinds of meds. And God is healing me. Also, next month will be 2 years that I haven't touched meth, fentanyl, Xanax, or pain pills. My husband Jeff and I have the opportunity to be celebrate recoveries so that we can help other addicts like us or recovering addicts like us. I am a sponsor to a wonderful woman. I have a great relationship with all three of my kids. They finally get to see their mama free from that demon. Since giving my life to God fully, I have gained a strong, firm relationship with Christ that no one or nothing can take from me. I am beyond blessed. I get to watch my children get closer to God, pray to him with their little hearts. It's beautiful seeing all the blessings God has given me and will continue to give me as I continue to follow his will. Jeff and I ended up getting married and are living our best to please God. Is every day perfect? Absolutely not. But I'd take any and all of these struggles I have over any of the struggles I had in active addiction. I'm so happy to be sharing this life with my best friend and my husband. Never in a million years did I ever think I'd be living a life like this, doing the things that I'm doing. God saved me, and he can save you too if you just surrender to him. Allow God to take over, and everything will fall into place. I give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for everything in my life. This is a true testimony of the power of Christ. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Please comment and subscribe for upcoming podcasts. To order your copy of My Real Life, go to the Take Action page at our website, reallifeministries-stl.com, or go to Real Life Ministries STL on Facebook.